take your Bibles. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Are we on? There we go. Nehemiah chapter 2 in your Bible, if you would, please. And I want to thank and welcome all of the guests that are here today. Thank you, parents and chaperones and pastors who brought your young people to visit Howells Anderson College. And young people, thank you for coming and visiting our school. It's our desire that you would find the will of God for your life. As you pray your senior year and ask the Lord what he'd have you to do, I hope you'll consider coming to Howells Anderson. And this is a wonderful place. I know the skit was a little confusing. It's a little bit like college life, a little confusing, but this is a wonderful place. And I thank God that the Lord brought me here when I was 17 years old. I had never heard of Howells Anderson College, but I was invited to come to a youth conference right after I graduated from high school. And that summer, God called me to preach. And I knew very clearly that God wanted me to come to Howells Anderson. And I didn't think I would stay. That wasn't my plan. I was open to do whatever God wanted. I was open to the mission field. I was open to pastor a church or whatever God wanted. But God, in his plan, allowed me to stay here, and it's been my privilege to serve and be part of this ministry and to serve our bus ministry and be part of the young people that go to Chicago every week. And we love the bus ministry at Howells Anderson College. Pastor Wilkerson has said this often. It's part of the DNA of First Baptist Church. And, you know, as I travel, you know, the bus ministry has really taken a big hit. You know, I think COVID has had a negative effect. We, of course, stopped running our buses here for a couple of months because of COVID. And even since then, it's been a little bit of a slow process trying to get things going again and reaching people again. But, you know, a lot of churches are really struggling. And as I visit places and try to encourage bus workers to try to help them to get back in the bus ministry. And boy, we need that. We need that so desperately. You know, the bus ministry works. Bus ministry works. But it takes work to build a bus route. It takes work to be in the bus ministry. And I think sometimes that's where we lack a little bit. But I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming and being part of College Days. And young people, thank you for being involved on your bus route. This last weekend was the third week of our spring program. We've got two more weeks to go. And looking forward to Easter Sunday this week, and then we'll end the program with our Carnival Sunday, and we look forward to that. We're excited about that and praying that every bus route would reach their goal, and I've challenged our bus workers to do a little extra. Bus captains go a little extra that week, go up to their bus route, visit during the week, maybe even take off some work to go to their bus route and visit. We want God to bless. We want God to help us reach people for the Lord. But thank you for being here. Nehemiah chapter 2, I won't be long this morning. I know you've got an activity planned after this and you're excited about it. I won't preach a long time, but I do want to share what God's laid on my heart. And I want you to look at verse number 11, Nehemiah chapter 2. The Bible says, "So I came to Jerusalem," and this is Nehemiah speaking, "and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. By the way, Jerusalem is not the only city that lieth waste. The city where you're from lieth waste. Most cities in our country lieth waste. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And I love where it says in that verse, it says, and they said, it was the people, the Jews, that said, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah was the leader. He was the guy in charge. He's the one that God had put in his heart. He's the one with the vision to go and rebuild the walls. But it was the people that said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And we'll stop there. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach to these young people. Lord, I'm burdened about our country. I'm burdened about the world. I'm concerned about what's happening, the direction that our nation is going. And Lord, I cannot help but realize that the hope of America might be sitting in this room. We need young people to rise up. We need young people to step up. We need young people to follow the will of God for their life. There's so much potential right here, and I pray that you would help us, as they did in the book of Acts, to turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ. Pray you'd meet with us these next few moments. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. For most of you, this is a very familiar story. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. Nehemiah receives word about the destruction in Jerusalem in chapter 1. He gets permission and receives resources from the king, and he goes to the city, as we read, to view the damage. It'd be similar to what our president would do when recently our president went to Mississippi to view the damage that was done by some tornadoes. And this is what Nehemiah is doing. He went to Jerusalem and to assess the damage. And after making an assessment, the Bible says that he organizes the Jews and he comes up with a plan. But with much opposition, he rebuilds the walls in less than 2 months. It seemed like an impossible task. But with God, the impossible becomes a reality. God wants to use you to do what you think is impossible. Some of you are sitting in this room, and by the way, I sat where you sat. These men on the platform, they sat where you sat. And I remember sitting where you sit. I remember knowing I was called to preach, knowing that God had put something in my heart and came here to school and intimidated by others who went to Christian school and others who seemed to have more experience and seemed to be smarter and seemed to have things together. And I came here intimidated by God's call on my life. And I thought it was impossible that God would ever use me to do what he'd called me to do. But I can tell you this, young man, God, if he's put a call on your heart, can help you do what you think is impossible. If God's called you to preach, young men, preach the word of God. If God has laid on your heart to be a preacher, don't ever vary from that. Don't ever distract from that. Keep focused. And by the way, the Bible says the gifts of and calling of God are without repentance, which means God will never change his mind about his call on your life. Now, you may change your mind, but God doesn't change his mind. And we need young men that are focused on the call of God on your life and do what you think is impossible. You think maybe being a pastor of a church is impossible, but God can equip you to do what you think is impossible. God's called you to be a missionary, and you think, boy, that is just, missionaries come, and men like Kevin Wynn and Rick Martin, and you think, I could never be a Kevin Wynn. I could never be a Rick Martin. No one's asking you to be them. God's asking you to be you, and God has a specific role and a place that he wants you to go to do something for God. God can help you do what you think is impossible. God can help you to win souls. I had never won a soul to Christ prior to coming to House Anderson. Well, I was scared to death, nervous, didn't know, I wouldn't know the Romans Road from the roads in Chicago. And nervous about the activity report that they were going to pass out on Monday. And some of you old timers remember the activity reports. It was an actual piece of paper. Of course, you don't know what that is anymore. It's kind of like cassette tapes. You don't know what cassette tapes are. And the real old people, they know what 8-track tapes are. Brother White, you're dating yourself right there, brother. But nervous about that piece of paper that would come down the aisle in chapel and we'd have to fill it out. How many souls did you witness to? How many people did you witness to? Oh, brother. Nervous, scared. And the worst question was, how many souls did you win? Because after a while, I got real tired of putting a zero. Every week, putting a zero because I wasn't confident in my soul winning. And I thought it would be impossible for me to ever have the courage or have the knowledge to win somebody to Christ. But then I remember that first soul. I was on the corner of Rockwell and Division. And it was a young man. His name was Angel. And I took the Bible and nervously showed him how to get saved. And he bowed his head and trusted Christ. And I thought, you know, I can do this. I can do this. And done it hundreds and thousands of times since then. And let me tell you something. God can help you do what you think is impossible. You think it's impossible to bring visitors. You think it's impossible to fill a bus. And God can help you do what you think is impossible. Let me say this, that God's will for your life is not impossible. It's very possible. I want to look this morning at a few reasons why I believe that God chose Nehemiah. First thing I see about Nehemiah, if you look in your Bible, go back to Nehemiah chapter 1. But I see Nehemiah as a man of compassion. Look with me at verse number 3 of chapter 1. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, the gates thereof are burned with fire. And verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What I see here in the story is that Nehemiah, when he heard the terrible news of what was happening, what was going on in Jerusalem, people that he cared about, the only thing he knew to do was just to sit and just weep and cry. And his heart was so broken. Let me ask you a question. You ever cry for somebody else? Well, I've cried for myself enough times. But you ever cry for somebody else? You ever cry for the kids on your bus route? You ever weep when you think about while we're sitting here in a Bible college and thank God for this environment? I love it. I love it. I love the environment we have because this room is filled with young people who love the Lord. You ever think about some of your bus kids who go to public schools? And every day they have to sit in classrooms with teachers that are as ungodly as they can be. I don't like to watch the news. But every so often I'll scroll and just look at some of the headlines. But I'll be honest, even doing that, my heart breaks. When I hear about what's happening in our schools and the agenda that is being promoted, the agenda that is being pushed, that an adult would tell a child and cause them to question their gender and provide ways for them to change how God made them. How wicked that is. How ungodly that is. And that is happening all across America, and somebody's got to care, and somebody's got to have a burden, and somebody has got to have compassion, and somebody's got to weep and realize that our country is going to hell, and we need to do something about it. But somebody has got to care. Somebody has got to have compassion. Let me ask you a question. You ever weep over your bus route? You ever weep over your route? I remember one Saturday night, I was visiting late on my bus route, and my partner had to leave early or something. I just happened to be on my route by myself. I was on Augusta Street near Washtenaw, and just visiting some callbacks and just walking my route. And I don't know exactly why this happened, but I began to think about some families on my route, and one family in particular. It was summertime, and there wasn't as many workers here that summer. And I remember a family that lived just a few blocks away. It was a little girl named Maria. And I remember the workers and I got some money together. We went to a store. Maria didn't have a dress to wear on Sundays, and she wanted one, and so we bought her a dress. And every Sunday, Maria would come to church, and she'd wear that dress. Every Sunday. She only had one. She only owned one, and that's the one that she wore every single Sunday. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, she'd come to church, and she'd have that dress on. And she lived in a very, very poor home and kind of a sad home. I remember one time she got on the bus, and she didn't have that dress on. And I remember she was usually bubbly and excited to see the workers, but she got on the bus, and she kind of scurried to the back, didn't want to see anybody. And I walked back there a few minutes later, and I said, Maria, you okay? And she lifted her head, and she had a little tear in her eye. I said, what's wrong? She said, my mom tried to wash my dress last night, and she put it on the radiator to dry it, and when she did, she left it there too long, and it burned a hole in it, and so I couldn't wear my dress today. And boy, it just broke her heart. For some reason, that night, as I was walking down the street, I thought, who's going to care for the Marias on our bus route if I don't? Who's going to care for the teenage boys that ride our bus every week if I don't? I know the gangbangers care. Boy, they do what they can to reach some little kids as they're growing up and trying to get them involved. I've seen them. I've seen boys 12, 13 years old running from apartments to the street, delivering drugs and exchanging for money. And they're getting recruited at young ages and to get involved, to be accepted, to belong to something. And they care. And I thought, you know, there's got to be somebody who cares. There's got to be somebody who would realize that life isn't all about them and it's not about me. And that was a real changing, that was a real turning point in my life. And I realized that somebody's got to care about the bus route. And somebody, by the way, I was a student. I lived over here in Rice 3. I had no intention of staying here the rest of my life. I thought that I would pastor a church. I thought that I'd be serving somewhere. But listen, while I was here, I made a decision that I would care about somebody else besides myself. Because somebody's got to. Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to have compassion. We've been given so much. I thank God for my heritage. Thank God for my mom and dad. My dad's been with the Lord 10 years this year. But I thank God for my dad, my mom. I thank God for the heritage. I thank God for parents who took us to church. You know, one of the sad things about being in the bus ministry is watching these parents send their kids. You know, they don't want to bring their kids. They want to send their kids. Well, I thank God. How many of you had parents that didn't send you? They took you. Yeah. And I didn't always like that. When I was a teenager, I probably rebelled against that at times. But today, I tell you what, I thank God for parents who took us to church. Boy, I've been given so much. Have the Word of God in my hands. How many of you have the Word of God in your hands? Thank God for the Word of God. Well, you've got people in your life that care for you. Think about this. How many of you, without a shadow of a doubt, I mean, you're 100% sure this is true in your life. And don't raise your hand if you can't. But how many of you would say, I know that there is somebody who loves me enough to pray for me? Raise your hand way up high. I wonder if we were to go to your bus route or go to your, ask your bus kids if they could say the same thing. Many of them could not. They wouldn't know anybody that prays for them. See, we've been given so much. The Bible says that to whom much is given, much is required. Boy, how we ought to take what we've been given and give back to somebody else. I know you can make money with your life, and if that's what God wants you to do, I hope you do and make lots of it. Give it all to Howells Anderson College or City Baptist School. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something that's much greater than making money and having things, and that's doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I see he was a man of compassion. I need to hurry. The second thing I notice here is he was a man of prayer and fasting. He wept, then he began to pray and fast. The Bible says, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. The context of that verse, this kind, was for the disciples. For the disciples, they were having God's power in their life. They couldn't heal. They couldn't cast out the demon out of this demon-possessed man. God said, and Jesus came on the scene, he said, it's because of your unbelief. And he said, howbeit that this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a this kind of desire or need in your life? I mean this kind. I mean something that was just heavy burden, this kind. Desire to do something significant for God, and you know you can't do it by yourself. Hey, let me ask bus captains, you ever have a this kind moment where, man, you're so burdened for your bus route and for the program and for a big day that you're willing to pray and fast for your bus route? I'm talking about this kind moment. Some of you are going through something in your life. It's a burden. It's a trial. It's a problem. It's heavy. And maybe you're trying to figure out how to pay your bill, and it's getting close to the end of the semester. Look, that might be that. That's a this kind moment that requires prayer and fasting, where you're willing to go to the Lord and pray and find a place. And I know sometimes on the campus it's hard to find a place, but find a place where you can get alone and pray. Be willing to fast. Be willing to give up some meals and say, God, you know what? I'm not going to eat because I want you to hear me, because I have this kind of request. I have this kind of burden. The next thing I see, well, I believe God chose Nehemiah because he was a man willing to step up and fill a need. The Jews had escaped captivity. They were in great affliction, and they needed someone to step up. John 4:35 says this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? And Jesus says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. Jesus was saying, open your eyes and see the great need. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and see the great need that's for souls to be saved. The great need for lives to be changed. The great need for bus drivers. If you're in the bus ministry, you know this is true. Boy, we're struggling with drivers. And I tell you, we need some men to step up. Be willing to get their driver's license. When I turned 21, I was having a big day on my bus route, Brother Jack, and I wanted to have 200 on my route. And I needed 3 buses, but I only had 2 drivers. We had gotten off school that Friday before the big day, and we had a big bus meeting here in this room. Brother Ray Young was bus director. I was a student. bus captain in our college. I walked up to Brother Ray. I stood right here and asked Brother Ray, I said, Brother Ray, I want to have 200 on my route Sunday, but I only have three. I need to run three buses, but I only have two drivers. I said, would you let me drive on Sunday? This was Friday morning. He said, well, do you have your bus license? I said, no. I said, but I'm going to go get it today. Back then, all you had to do was go to the BMV and take a 50-question test and pass a passenger chauffeur test, and they'd give you a license. You could drive a bus. Wouldn't that be awesome if it was like that today? I went over here to Crown Point. I walked into the office about 10 o'clock in the morning. I told the lady, I said, I need to get my public passenger chauffeur's license. I said, I need to test. I didn't study. I didn't have time. I needed to get my license. And so I sat at the desk and I took the test, and I don't know how long it took me, but finished. I handed it to the lady, and she graded it and said, I'm sorry, sir, but you failed the test. And then she said, you're going to have to wait 24 hours before you can take it again. And I didn't tell her this, but I didn't have 24 hours. Man, I wanted to have 200 on my bus route Sunday. I only had two drivers, and I needed a third driver, so I went to Griffith. Walked in the office. I asked the lady for the public passenger chauffeur's license test, and she gave me the same test, probably the same one I took in Crown Point. I sat there at the desk and took the test, handed it to her. She graded it. She said, I'm sorry, sir, but you failed. She said, you're going to have to wait 24 hours before you take this again. Well, she didn't know this, and I didn't tell her. I said, but I'm thinking as I walked out the door, I don't have 24 hours. Man, I set a goal of 200 on my bus route, and I need three buses, and I only got two drivers, so I went to St. John. There used to be a BMV in St. John. I walked into the office. I told the lady I need the test for the public passenger chauffeur's license. She gave me the 50-question test, probably the same one I took in Griffith and probably the same one I took in Crown Point. I sat there at the desk, and I took the test. I got all done, and I handed it to her, and she graded it. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, you failed the test. She gave me the same speech. She said, you have to wait 24 hours before you can take it again. And I didn't tell her. As I walked out the door, I'm thinking, I'm going to have 200 on my bus route Sunday. I only got two drivers. I need to run three buses. So I went to Merrillville. I walked into the office, told the lady I need to take the public passenger chauffeur's license test. She gave me the test, probably the same one I took in Crown Point, probably the same one I took in Griffith, probably the same one I took in Crown Point, and wherever I was, St. John. I sat down, I took the test. But the place about to close, this is my last chance, okay? She graded it, and she said, congratulations. Man, I was so happy. I had taken off work that night to go to the bus route, to the bus captains. I took off work that night so I can go to the bus route and visit that night. Saturday morning, Brother Roman, this is a true story. Saturday morning, I walked up to Brother Ray Young after the meeting. I said, Brother Ray, can I drive a bus tomorrow? He said, do you have your license? I said, I got it right here. He said, have you ever driven a bus before? I don't know why he didn't ask me that on Friday. Boy, in my mind, I'm racing through trying to think, have I ever driven a bus before? One time. My bus driver was Tom Hertzel, who preached on Tuesday. He was my driver. He let me drive in a parking lot. There's a boathouse at Humboldt Park. Those of you that are in Division 5 know where that is. I drove in the parking lot one time, and I told Brother Ray, and I told him the truth. I did not lie to Brother Ray Young. I said, Brother Ray, I've driven a little bit. And he said, okay, you can drive Sunday. And I drove that next day for the very, very first time. I did run over three people, but hey, listen. We hit our goal. We had 200 on that day. You know, we need some people that'll step up and do what needs to be done. You know, one of the things I love about Nehemiah is that he was willing to step up. Let me say to all the men in this room, I remember Brother Hiles from this pulpit, or this, at least from this platform, would say that the best opportunity that we have at Hiles Anderson to train you to be a pastor is if you would be a bus captain. Brother White, you've probably heard that. By the way, it wasn't long ago, I think just about 6-8 months ago, I can't remember now, but I was out knocking on doors on the south side of Chicago on my bus route, and I met a lady who, she said, I used to ride the bus to First Baptist Church. She said, do you know a Brother Roman White? I said, I sure do. She said, man, me and my sisters and brothers, we all came, rode the bus. Well, I just rejoice over the impact that you had many, many, many years ago when you served here. Can I say to all the men in this room, why don't you step up? Why don't you step up? Why don't you quit running from responsibility and say, you know what, if my division needs a bus captain, I'll be a bus captain. You know, I wouldn't mind this. I wouldn't mind if some men came up to me and said, Brother John, I'm not a bus captain, but if that opportunity became available, I'd be a bus captain. Not because you're looking for a title, not because you're looking for a position. You just want an opportunity to do something for God, to step up and do something. And boy, that's what we need. We need some men and some young people in this room that will step up. And then the last thing, and I'll be done. Nehemiah was a man who was listening to the voice of God. He was listening to the voice of God. Look at verse number 12. We read this in our text. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. I'm so glad that I was listening to God's voice when he spoke. Let me ask you something. Young people, are you listening to God? Are you listening to the voice of God? Has God laid anything on your heart? Has God put something in your heart? How many of you men would say, God's put a call in my heart to serve God with my life? Would you raise your hand? Boy, keep your hand up. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. God's put a call in your heart. Boy, don't ever forget. Maybe God hasn't put anything in your heart. Maybe because you're not listening. Maybe because it's too loud. Maybe your music is too loud. Your social media is too loud. Maybe your entertainment is too loud, and you're struggling. God's having a hard time getting through because you're not listening. We need some young people that'll listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. It wouldn't be wrong for you to pray, God, put something in my heart. God, put something in my heart. I want to do something for you. And I want to hear from you. I want God to do something in my life. I want God to use me. Our theme for our church this year is eternity. What a great cause for life. I'm going to live for eternity. I'm going to live with eternity in view. Boy, we need some young people that'll listen to the voice of God. I don't have time to preach this whole message, but real quickly, I just say this. As soon as Nehemiah began to make plans to serve God, then the opposition came. And that's all, it always happens. It always happens. Opposition will come, the trials come, the problems come. But let me say this, for Nehemiah, quitting was not an option. Let me congratulate all the seniors that'll march in May for a job well done, and for finishing what you started. If you're marching in May, or you hope you are, why don't you stand, if you would. Just stand to your feet real quick. Stand up. Remain standing. The Bible says that the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Something about finishing. And by the way, if you were to ask these seniors, do you ever think about quitting while you were in college? You ever tempted just to, you know what, throw in the towel and say, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I'm sure they have. But they're finishing. And let me say to all those of you that are sitting out here, why don't you do likewise and finish what you started? Don't let quitting be an option. Finish what you start. You can be seated. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to be like Nehemiah. Lord, I do pray that you'd give us a heart and compassion for others. I pray, God, that you'd help us to rise up, step up, be willing to fill a need. God, help us not to make quitting an option. Help us to finish what we started. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Young people, listen to the voice of God. Please listen to God's voice. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening to the voice of God? Let him speak to you. Let him speak. He wants to bless. He wants to use you. He wants to call you.